Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring in Adam McCalvey, shall we?
Best Brewers coverage. This is the Bill Michaels Show. Now, let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McCalvey. Brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services. Preparing vets to make an impact within their next mission through education. Find out more at cuw.edu/veterans.
Adam McCalvey, Brewers.com and MLB.com, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline from L.A. And Adam, so last night it was a gutsy call to put Jeremy Jeffress in. It ends up paying off in the end. How big was that, do you believe, for Jeremy Jeffress?
Oh, man, I mean, I stood there front and center to talk to him after the game last night, and there was a lot of gratitude from Jeremy Jeffress for getting that opportunity. You're right, that was a very gutsy call. If that blows up, that is one of those that Craig Counsell has to hear about for a very, very long time. And he showed a tremendous amount of faith in his guy, and he showed sort of a long view of this balance of wanting to win today and wanting to win tomorrow. And wanting to win tomorrow still matters in the postseason. And I think the Brewers have been towing that line for some time now in the way they've used their pitching. And I think last night in a couple of different instances was, that showed using Josh Hader for eight pitches and then going to Jeremy Jeffress for both guys was sort of about the fact that there's a game four today and that there's a game five tomorrow. And because Jeremy Jeffress was able to bend but not break, he put the Brewers in a pretty darn good position going into another bullpen day today. But in all likelihood, we'll see what happens with Gio Gonzalez and then Wade Miley on short rest in Game 5. So that was, to me, a really big pivot game last night in this series. I think, one way or another, that could have been the win or the loss that sort of settled where this thing was headed. Now, look, there's still a long way to go, but like I said, I feel like the fact Jeffress was able to get through it for them and put Craig Counsell and Derek Johnson and Lee Tunnell in a very good position with that bullpen going into today.
Looking at the offense, we were talking about this earlier with Chuck Freeman, that Kanan Yelich specifically, he's drawn walks and he's scored runs. I'll take nine walks. I mean, I know he doesn't have an average that's sitting at .310 like he did most of the season, and he's not powering balls out of the ballpark, but he's still contributing, and they're not really pitching to him. The guys behind them, though, have been there to support him. I mean, they've been scoring runs, and had it not been for a meltdown in the latter portion of Game 2, we might be talking about a Brewers team that has completely outplayed the L.A. Dodgers and will be up 3-0 at this point.
Well, I think, I agree. I give the Brewers credit for playing well. I give Yelich credit for taking what he's been given him, which hasn't been much. And I think you're right that they have pitched him very tough. And he has been content to take his walks when those are available and let the guys behind him do it. It was Kratz in the division series at the bottom of the order. It's been Orlando Arcia in this NLCS, kind of a shocking performance from Arcia and other guys in the lineup. Ryan Braun, you mentioned, kind of doing it too. I think you have to acknowledge, even if you really love the Brewers, that the Dodgers are playing a terrible series. In Game 1, they played just a truly awful baseball game. And last night again, I mean, for Yasmani Grandal to get booed at home in an NLCS, you have to be playing pretty bad for that to happen. And he's playing just a truly brutal series. They're going to start Austin Barnes behind the plate against Gio Gonzalez today. So, that's part of it, is you have to take what the other team gives you. And, for Christian Yelich, that means taking the blocks where they're available. And I think for the Brewers, it means just kind of taking advantage of some of these miscues for the Dodgers. Dodgers are in a very frustrated state right now where they feel like they're making way too many mistakes for a big series. And look, that includes Manny Machado, who's been good at the plate for the Dodgers. He's done some damage with the bat, but You know, there was a ball he didn't route on in game two that's gotten a lot of attention. And then the two slides last night were borderline bizarre. There was just no need to do that. The second one, the interference call, there was, I mean, that gifted the Brewers a double play where there was not one to be had. That's the game of baseball. When the opponent makes a mistake, you capitalize on it, and that's part of why they're in this 2-1 position.
Brewers, when you talk about not making mistakes, only one error thus far in the series. I mean, you looked at the numbers for this team all season long, and the way their winning percentage rose when they scored first and did not commit an error, it was almost a lock that the team would end up winning. So the fact that they're playing good defense, they're taking advantage of some poor defense, and they're the benefactors of just some stupidity, like you had mentioned with Manny Machado, and the fact that they're taking advantage of offensive situations. They're doing everything kind of scrappily that got them here. You just hope, because there were a few times in the season you looked and there were some just gaps. There was just some meltdowns. They haven't had that. And, you know, and that's what a good team does, is when you get to the postseason and the pressure's on, much like Ryan Braun said, they've been playing 2 weeks into the postseason. They were playing postseason baseball. So it seems like all of that rush to the finish line has prepared them for what it is they're going through now.
Yeah, and they've also survived the, you know, sometimes when you're hot, you don't want the breaks. The bullpen, they love having those breaks before the division series and before the LCS. But you wonder whether that's going to, you know, sort of stop the team's run in terms of the winning streak. And now, 13-14? And they've shown that they can still play good baseball games after that rest. So that means the rest is a very good thing. And on the defense, there was a lot of discussion before the game. And I think this is something, you know, whatever happens, if they move on to the World Series or they don't, we go back and dissect the series in the season. Shifting and defensive positioning has been sort of, I think, quietly a huge story for this Brewers team. Their pitching has been solid despite, you know, we've talked many times, they don't have the big names, because so often, way more often than not, the defenders have been in exactly the right place. And that's allowed them to take a guy like Travis Shaw, who, when he was with Boston, there was a talk that he couldn't play third base, that he was a first baseman, he was limited defensively. He always thought he could play third. Well, he showed he could play third. Then the Brewers thought, well, maybe he could play second. And they're able to get Mike Moustakas, who's had a couple big moments, even though his numbers aren't, you know, don't jump out at you. He's had a couple of big moments in these playoffs. They're able to get him and put him at third because Shaw is able to move to second. And I think Shaw is able to move to second because they have done a really good job of putting him in the right position pitch to pitch. That's a story that's going to get told at some point. And I think when we look back on this, that's going to be something that sort of, it happens subtly between pitches. And if you're not looking closely, you're not seeing a lot of it. But it's they've been really, really good at that. And it's helped them in a big way.
Talking with Adam McAlvey at Brewers.com and MLB.com. Now they move on to tonight. I know that they wanted to, you know, kind of do what they could to save Hader. Is Hader available regardless tonight and tomorrow, or tomorrow completely depends on what happens tonight?
Well, this is a little uncharted. So Hader has gone back to back. I think it was six times during the season, including 1-2. Of the division series, correct me if I have my numbers wrong, but he has not done three in a row. I don't know 100% whether they plan to use him all three, or whether they plan to stick with the regular season formula, which was, you know, really put an emphasis on rest to get the good Josh Hader, because last night for eight pitches, that was as good of Josh Hader as you'll see. He struck out the two guys he faced on 98. You know, Matt Kemp had absolutely zero chance against Josh Hader last night. At least that's what it looked like. And you want to have that good Josh Hader. And this is the debate we've talked about. You know, can you pitch him multiple days? Yeah, you can. You can. You know, it's not like he's hurt when he does that. But he's not the electric Josh Hader when he does that. They've seen that from experience. So I would guess it's one or the other, but I don't know that for certain. And if it's another eight-pitch appearance tonight in a big spot, say, I would say maybe he is available for Game 5 as well. So I think it's going to partly depend on just how this game plays out. But I just the short answer is yes, he is available tonight. And that was one of the big things again about last night is of all the relievers they brought out there, Jeffress had 21 pitches and he had the most. Knebel was 5 outs on 19 pitches. That was huge because he's definitely available and he has been a really key cog for this you know bullpen heavy pitching plan over the last couple of weeks. So they're in pretty good shape going with two more games to play. Even though they have Gio Gonzalez on again, what I'm expecting is going to be a similar to game one. You start him, you hope the Dodgers stack righties, or you expect the Dodgers to put a bunch of righties in against them, and then maybe you tick one of those guys off the list when you make a change to Brandon Woodruff. Or Burns, or whoever, Guerra, whoever it is. Freddie Peralta at some point you think is going to pitch in one of these games with Wade Miley going short tomorrow and probably not going to pitch through to the eighth inning. When you do this, especially today with starting the lefty and then going to the righty, you just hope to make Dave Roberts make a difficult decision in the third or fourth inning and maybe you scratch a guy off the bench that maybe could have been a right-handed batter that maybe could have been used against Josh Hader or a tough out against Josh Hader late in the game. So that's been part of the cat and mouse of these first couple of games of the series.
Real quick before I let you go, you had mentioned a guy like Freddie Peralta and company. Is there anybody else? Do you see a situation in which you get, say, 4 or 5 innings and you get a sizable lead? I'm not talking, 7, 8 runs, but I'm talking 3, 4 runs. Where guys are just coming in and getting an out, because you have not used a lot of the depth of your bullpen. So do you see Craig Counsell just say, much like a Freddie Peralta or a Xavier Cedeño or a Corbin, using these guys just to use them, just to get their arms loose?
I don't know that you do that at this stage of the season, but I do think that if if this Brewers team can give them a sizable lead, there is an opportunity to use some of that length. They only carried 3 of what we would think of as starting pitchers. And I don't know the way Gio Gonzalez was used in game one. We're using that term just basically out of habit with him. But they do have guys who are sort of multi-inning relief options who started during the regular season. It's Woodruff, it's Freddie, it's Junior Guerra, who has quietly thrown the ball quite well lately. Those are guys that Burns, although Burns really has been used in some high leverage spots too. So I would hesitate to put him in too much in this kind of long relief role, if that's the term we're going to use, but you have those guys available that you can do a bullpen day, but really it's not like one inning and then it's not 9 guys for one inning apiece. I think the idea of the way they've mapped it out and the way they set up the roster is maybe Gio once through the order, maybe Woodruff once through the order. Then, depending on what the score of the game is, you've got Guerra Peralta if you want to go for more length. Or after, say, maybe Gio and Woodruff get you through 5, now you're covering 4 innings with your bullpen. And when you start to look at the math that way, that's manageable. And again, it's manageable because Jolie Chassin gave them a fantastic performance yesterday. And because of the travel days baked into the off-season schedule, you've got rest for guys. That's sort of the expectation tonight, I would think. But the game always can dictate a change if it does, because, at this stage of the season, Counsell has used this phrase, victories are precious. Victories are very precious now. They're 2 away from the World Series. And if you can go for the jugular in the middle of a game, I think Craig Counsell has shown that he's going to be aggressive and do it.
Great stuff as always, Adam. Enjoy the rest of the series. We'll talk again next week about everything that's going on, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds good. See ya.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Adam at CalvaryBrewers.com and MLB.com. Joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years of making it get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.